tonight I'm beginning a new series on Hilchos Brachos. To bring the Shavura would be certainly helpful. Hilchos Brachos are quite encompassing and quite complex. Often, when we think about halacha, we have a very defensive posture regarding to halacha. We want to be confronted by halachic issues, and then we have to investigate that. Approach is one approach, but certainly not the ideal. Of course, the ideal is that one should be very familiar with the Shulchan Aruch, and if one has a firm knowledge upon which the halacha is based, so then, of course, that will be very helpful. The Gemara says in Baba Kama, Haiman, the boy, the Levi, it's on the top right hand column. Gemara Dafalami. Omer Rav Yehuda, Haiman, the boy, the Levi Chasida. Someone wants to be a Chosid, the Kayim Yud, the Nezigin. Nezigin referring to damages between Benod and Chabira. So there, one certainly should strive to be a Chosid. Rabba, Omer Rav Yehuda, the Abos. I'm not getting into the other two, I'm interested in the third. Rabbi Midu de Brachas wants to be conversant, familiar with the Dinam of Brachas in order that one wants to become a chassid. Chassid generally is someone who's defined as whatever they do is a thin b'shura sadeh. I think I mentioned once that I was once in Boston, Massachusetts, in the United States, and Salvechi's younger brother, Adon Daban, Alevi Salvechi, was in the process of building a yeshiva in Chicago called Brisk. It's no longer extant. So it was a very incoherent, very initial steps. So he wanted to raise money. It was a convention of Rabbonim. It's probably not the place to raise money, but the convention of Rabbonim, RCA, members of the RCA, must have been 200 members of the RCA. He said a shir, and then the object was to raise money for his brother's new yeshiva, Brisk, in Chicago. So when he was introducing his brother, he said the following. He said that he signs the smicha kvar the following way. Yosef Dov, that's his name, Ben Moron, Moshe, Halevi, Salavetri, that's his father, Zetzuka Lalala. That's how he signs his name on the smicha kvar. That's what's on my smicha kvar. So then he said in Yiddish, the shiur was in Yiddish. So he says, Moron Zishto. Moron's been my father. Moron is not here. That was my father. My father was Moron. Then also he said, Yosef Dov and Moron Hagoyin Hachosim. Those are the other two titles that I neglected to mention. Goyin, doesn't my brother. That's my brother. He's a Goyin. So he thought he was referring to Amaron Halev Salvation. He was sitting right there. No. My brother, the professor of chemistry. He had a brother, professor of chemistry. As a Shmuel Soloveitchik, as given a goy, he was a goy. Chosid does say Sabar. That's Sabar and Halevi Soloveitchik. Alphas it took between Mishur Sabar. So the Gemara says here, Haiman, the boy, Rebbe Chasida, and the Gemara lists three items under this category, whether it's Midud the Nezikim, Midud the Abbas, Midud the Brachas. So one of them is Midud the Brachas. So, and I'll mention one more story that I've said here before in the Shul. When I was a 13 year old young man, I'm in high school, a freshman in high school. So I met, I think I can mention the name of the person, even though he's unfortunately passed on. Hagoyin Moshe Tendler. He was my Rebbe in high school later on at that point in time. And then he was the entire biology department at the university, a professor of biology, chairman of the department, a genius, an absolute brilliant chacham, a brilliant biologist. So I met him at 13, and in the course of meeting him, so he asked the whole group of us a number of questions. And me, he asked the question, what bracha do you make on Cheerios? He asked me, do I eat Cheerios? I said, yes. What bracha do you make on it? So I got flustered. And I said, Hamotzi. So he said, you're an Hamotz. So he told me. I suggest you learn Kesem Morchim. You should learn the six paragraph brachas. And the Gemara says, Mi b'yuchayisiv shalom nikra in Tamil Chocham b'limba. From the brachas of a person, you can tell whether it's a Tamil Chocham or not. So I was sort of a bit stung by that comment. Well, I didn't really know what an Amaretz meant, so it really didn't make much of a difference at that point in time, but I decided I'm going to take him up to the challenge and learn Kesem Mevorchim. And I did. It took me about 6 months. I actually got someone to learn with me, and we learned it quite well. Then I went out with him. So he remembered that encounter. So I asked him to test me. So he tested me. And he told me, Mitch left. Not bad. I stayed about an hour. I didn't try better. And he told me, not bad. So that was pretty complimentary. And he says, you're on your way to becoming a Talmud Chacham that will be able to know how to make a bracha. We'll be able to ask you. And he said to me, why should you only suffice in case of a bargain? What about the rest of the sector? What's wrong with all the sector? So I decided, okay, that's what I'll do. That took a bit longer. And then I went to him again. He tested me on the whole sector. He did it over a period of several days, from parrot to parrot. He knew the sector quite well, I will say. Far better than I did. But I apparently wasn't too good. So he said after that, encounter, wow, looks like you became a Talmud Chacham at a very young age. That's what he told me. So that was gave me tremendous chizuk. So it's true we have a lot of halachic handbooks that help us in terms of a bracha to make on this, or a bracha to make on that. But ideally, the idea, of course, is to try and really get a handle on brachas on our own, the klolim, and what exactly the principles that are involved. That's the reason why several people ask me to say this year, brachas, no, I'm not here tonight. But it's not, each one has a separate, they all apologize to me. Separate situation, sitting alone. So I would like to do that. So I'm both going to present in the course of the next, hopefully, probably more than a few weeks, I suspect, both halacha and hashkofa relating to Hilchos Brachos. So I'm going to begin, actually, with a din, which is known to all of us as well, that there's a din, the Gemara says, we're supposed to say, Me'er Brachos, the whole yom. Gemara Da'ar is Gemara Brachos, that happens to be Gemara, one of those Gemaras that I learned. Al-Tikri Mo'a Lomea, after you sell Moshe Mo'kev, Hashem Ma'imah, Tim Ma'ira, Al-Tikri Mo'a Lomea, so there, the Rambam and Rav Avad Yosef that Ratzal is the dike of that Rambam. They were supposed to keep track of how many brachas we say every single day. He used to count brachas that he said every day in order to know that he got to 100 brachas on a daily basis. Very few of us do that. I don't do it. But that's what Rav Avad Yosef suggests. And it starts from the night before. It starts tonight. Or whenever nightfall begins, let's say 6 o'clock. And then we start to count the Me'er Brachos that we do on a daily basis. He was very makbid. The briskers are bedayik from Lashon Rambam, but that's what we're supposed to do. That's mashma from the Rambam, and they actually are pretty careful about that as well. So the Rambam and Hilchos Brachos, that the Rambam tells you that there's an obligation to say Me'er Brachos, and obviously that obligation also involves an enormous amount of concentration. This time I'm just going to present the preamble to Hilchos Brachos a little bit. So when I was in the yeshiva in Itri, there's a saying that, I don't know how popular it is today, but we used to read it after davening every day, called Orchas Chaim V'Arosh. If you're familiar with that saber, it's a list, a rather lengthy litany of things that one should be didactic about. So the Orchas Chaim V'Arosh, I copied it down for myself. So he writes the following in the Sif Lam L'Chet. It's a many, many sifim. He writes, we call Nachol Asher Yochel, we call Mashke Asher Yishaseh, be careful before you're about to drink something or eat something. Make sure you make a bracha at the beginning and the end. And he writes, and you should try your best to have kavana when you make the bracha, because you're verbalizing, articulating the bracha. Don't do things in a very haphazard kind of way. Don't do it in a very habituated, with the habituated regularity kind of way. People who do that, who do mitzvahs, what they call mitzvah noshim l'moda, so even though they're verbally saying that which they have to say, but really they're very distant from Hashem. So we have to concentrate on the words when addressing Hashem. I remember when I came to the shul, before COVID. I mean, it was actually during COVID, but right before. So you had this 100-minute minyan. I still have the original paper. I was so enthralled from it, I couldn't get past it. And I probably would have ended up joining it, because I like to say which the words that I'm davening say with some degree of kavana. I was astounded by it. And since then, even before you started Brachas Kavanah, that already, you won the over very quickly, according to Golden Ephraim. But even before that, just with this 100-minute minyan, which apparently must have been going for a little while, I don't know how long it was maintained.
Short time.
Okay, hold on.
Someone started it here years ago before I came.
And I found, so that one was on Friday.
And I found the
original sheet. I have it actually in my
Sharda. Revive it.
Okay. All right. Maybe one day perhaps we'll be Zayza once again. So the point is that that one has to have a lot of kavana before one says a bracha. I many years ago went to a levaya of a great Talmud Chacham, and at the levaya they said that before he said his bracha, he was from Europe, he would put on his hat. But the reason putting it on his hat was not that a bracha requires a hat, but he did it in order that this should be the focus of his attention before every single bracha that he made. He actually wrote a sefer and helped with brachas, very beautiful sefer. I got it from his son. Maybe covered a few simanim and helped with brachas, but that was one of his areas of greatness. And if a person has in mind and is careful, and I'll tell you something else that was also zochet to, even though I'm not, I can't say I'm a chosin of his. My wife Shlita is a student of Hagoyin HaTzadik, Rav Avigdor Milzatzal. You probably see some of his, how shall we describe them? Parsha Shiurim, let's put it in a very nice way. He was a flame. He was a fire. He was a torch. That's what my wife described him, as a torch. So I don't know if you read any of his English books. He has some classic English books that are phenomenal. And he studied science himself on his own. He's a very autodidactic. He's an American Jew who went to learn Salvotki. And there was a whole group of them, about 10, 15 of them. It was they born in America, went to learn Salvotki by the Alta Salvotki. And you can see the hashpah that this Alta Salvotki had on this group of people. Each one is more magnificent than the other. So he wrote actually a lot about science. And he has in one of his books the entire analysis of an apple. Talks about a regular apple and a Macintosh apple. Macintosh apples, maybe, I don't know, maybe South Africa. These very red, juicy kind of apples. I don't know if you have them there to sell, I'm not sure. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. Anyway, so he has this lengthy discussion on how the apple grows and how the entire process of photosynthesis takes place in the course of the apple growing and the nutrients that the apple requires and how the apple came to be, and all the wonders of nature, the design of the apple, and the taste of the apple. It goes through Arichus Shein Kamo. This is very typical of Agarev Avigdor Miller, an unusual person. And also, he was another one, when he said a bracha, so my wife told me that every bracha was said, he had to put on his hat and said a bracha with incredible kavanah. That's a really madrega. This is a Bali madrega that we rarely see something of that stature. I think I also mentioned here as well, Rabbi Levinson told me that he heard with Rebbe, Maran HaRabbis, which was all about Rebbe Zitzal, that people asked him, okay, what kind of Kabbalah does the Rabbi accept upon himself on Shoshana time? So at one point he told someone, I accepted upon myself to say the first Bracha Shredasa with Kabbalah. So they told Rosh Zalman, that's a Din Shalom Lach, I mean, that's not what Shema are you telling us? How am I should be kind of the Din Shalom Lach and say the first Bracha Shredasa with Kabbalah. So we see that in Dali Israel, we're very concerned about saying a bracha, b'leiv sholem. And the truth is, if you look in the Chaim Halosh in the Sefer, there'll be a small piece in a moment from his family on page number one, but in the Ruach Chaim, Rav Chaim Halosh, which is the parish of Pirkei Avos, very beautiful parish, he talks about Rav Chaim Halosh was the one who really defined Torah Lishma. The number of definitions was called Torah Lishma. And generally, Maskana that he came to is that Torah Lishma means that clearly, in order to understand what I'm learning, that's called Torah Lishma. The other translation, Torah Lishma, in order to connect to Hashem Yisbarach and the Torah, and there's Torah Lishma, because we know the Mitosh Shalom Lishma, Bal Lishma, you have to start Shalom Lishma in some form of fashion, maybe you want to be able to say over about Torah, and that gives you a bit of stature, a bit of honor in the eyes of others. That's also a Madrega, not the highest Madrega, of course, but it's certainly a Madrega. Anyway, so the point is that the person has to begin at one point and try little by little to advance both in learning the Torah and Shema. So in terms of brachas, in terms of saying brachas with the kavana and saying it slowly, there's a famous Sefer HaChinuch, which we'll get to in a little while. The Sefer HaChinuch writes that, and Mishnah Berurah quotes it in the Hilchos Brachas, a little bit of samozim. A person who davens, who says Berachas Samozim from a siddur, be kavana, mila be mila, will be zeichet the panasa kol yoma. Law in Mishnah Berurah, put on the Sefer HaChinuch. So there are many Gedolei Yisrael. I could actually even tell you one or two, maybe one or two perhaps that you mentioned. You probably met many. But Hagoyin HaBe'er Shel Shefer Shlita, anyone who watches him, I only know him approximately my entire life. And you ever saw him not just davening, but Birchas Hamazon. He gently davens with a hat, and he said Birchas Hamazon literally Mila b'Mila. Every word is enunciated. So I once, many years ago, asked him, so he asked me, did you forget the Sefer HaChinuch? Did you forget what it says in Mishnah? That if you say it Mila b'Mila, you're zochet a school of Parnassah Torah, the school of Meshem Shabbat. Meshem is not a school, that's not his area of strength. Not the chassid, and he's a chassid in the sense of he's mischassid in Kono and Dalde. So here you see that there are many, again, many very significant and very important in terms of the Hilchos Brachos, how one should approach Brachos, and Brachos certainly are very critical. And ones Avodas Hashem, we do it on an ongoing kind of basis, and we try to minimally say, as I said, Meir Brachos B'Kol Yom. And the essence of a bracha is really a Gemara of the Kamba. That's also, I didn't get to Lakomi, I'll get to momentarily. This is taken from a Sefer called Hilchos Birchos Hanen, a very beautiful Hakdama. I'm going to read it, part of it. But the Gemara says, Baba Kamba, that's how it's based. Also, a famous Gemara. The Gemara says, Beer the Shasas Be'Maya, when you drink water from a well, Al Tishne Be'Narva, don't throw stones into the well. It means don't throw stones into a well that you drank from. Appreciate the fact that Hashem gave you the well, and you can sustain your thirst and slake your thirst from that well. And Rashi is a famous Rashi over there. Rashi goes into a whole discussion about the or that essentially saved the life of Moshe Rabbeinu when his he was under the threat of the Egyptian famous Gzera Paro, Kalabina Ilo, Dayorat Hashahu, Kalabasta Chayun. So they went ahead, decided they had no choice. And he was placed in the bulrushes and in a kind of, let's call it, somebody here in the shul told me he calls it Moshe Rabbeinu's canoe. Okay, I don't know if it was a canoe. I don't think exactly it was a canoe, but that's how he calls it. And here, Moshe Rabbeinu, because the Yehor defended him, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu did not carry out the Makkah Sfadea and the Makkah Daf, but rather it took place to Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen was the one who was responsible for the carrying out those Makkahs. And the reason is, again, Rashi says over there, because the fact that the Or defended Moshe Rabbeinu. So this is Hakar Sato. This is essentially the midah of gratitude, which I heard my father, Zatzal, and my Omer Rabbeinu, most fundamental of all midahs. These water and sand are oblivious to the appreciation extended to them. So Kal v'chomer, if there's a chiyah to show Hakar Sato to water and sand, which are inanimate objects, Kal v'chomer to a human benefactor, obviously, unquestionably, and Kal v'chomer to the Ribbono Shel Olam that we have to show Hakar Sato, the ultimate benefactor. So a child agrees capable of saying thank you to his parents, especially if they instructed to do so. But when a person grows in wisdom and in adulthood and maturity and experience and sensitivity, so then our appreciation deepens and our expressions of gratitude are no longer done by rote. Now the expressions are more meaningful. And essentially, this is exactly how the Rishonim understand the bracha, or in general brachas, where it says Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. So often it's incorrectly translated as, I think generally it's translated as bless you, or somehow praise you, something along those lines. And so that's an incorrect translation. Because we showed him right that the Rebbeinu does not require, nor does he need our blessings, nor does he need our praises. Obviously, he does not need any of these shlachim. And it's totally illogical. And there's a famous Shuvah Sarashva on this topic. Rashva is the one who really lays out this idea. This is so, essentially, Baruch Atta means wellspring. You, Hashem, you're the source of my sustenance, when the Gemara says, "Sochim that the Baruch is mefagis, the kind of Eimim that they say kinim," and Abin Luchai says that he claims that the word bracha comes from Lashon of Brichat Mayim. Brichat Mayim is a wellspring. Brichat Mayim is a large body of water. It means Hashem is the mekor bracha. He's the source of bracha. He's the one who provides us with bracha. So Hashem is Yudkei Bavke. We know that in Sefer Shmonah, it says Yudkei Bavke is higher over the year. Hashem is beyond. Beyond Zman, he transcends time, past, present, and future, all merge. And we recite it, of course, Baruch Atah Hashem, we pronounce it, Aleph Dal Nun Yud, that's the Shira said of Aleph Shana Rabba, means master of all. So when one said the Shem Hashem, you have to be mindful of both meanings of his name. Basically, we're saying that he's the Mekor HaBracha, number one, and number two, that he's also juridically or judicially the Baal Bayit of the entire world. He controls legally, judicially, he's all powerful, etc., etc. And therefore, every time we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, this is what you have in mind, as it says in Shemalach, and that's not easy unless a person, even for a second or two before you say the bracha, you somehow try to focus. That's again the Rabbi Shlita. As far as the 100-minute minyan, that was the design. That's why I understood that minyan. It's such a beautiful idea. I dabbed once in that minyan. So I'm just telling you what I remember. I was actually able to say the words. That was the achidush of it. I was able to say each of the words of davening and actually savor each word and appreciate each word. So the idea again is melech ha'olam, that they also Hashem directs traffic. And in fact, the word Baruch creates doesn't mean he created, but rather he created and continues to create. Yeah, I discussed this on Friday night. Friday night, I spoke about some of the moral postulates we derived from Bereshit, so we pointed out, the Lashon of Tov, the Rabban, it turns it that Hashem continues to sustain the Bria. I quote the Baal Tanya. Baal Tanya says that on the Kaddish, before the Tov, the Master Bereshit, Hashem is engaged in an ongoing creation. It's an ongoing process, one continuum. If it would stop, willing the creation, but it says that Bayao came, Hashem is happy, he sees his the fruits of his labor, and they told him, oh wow, I did a good job. So that, what does that mean? So the Ramban explains it means that Hashem continues to will the creation. He wants the creation to continue to be sustained, and if he would not do so, everything would turn to nothingness, everything would self-implode momentarily. So that's a very important yesod. All this is embedded in the language of Ibrahim. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokei Melech HaOlam, whatever it may be, Baruch Piyaitz, Baruch Piyadomah, Baruch Piyagofen, etc. So that's one very fundamental yisod. So now I just want to read a bit of this is a Hakdama of a very famous Sefer. It's actually a Sefer that's well known, Hilchot Birchas Hanenin. There are many Svarim today, Birchas Hanenin, it's not the only one, one of the earliest Svarim. And it's an absolutely beautiful Sicha that he has. I want to read part of it. He quotes here in Aleph, that Min HaTorah, a person is obligated to say a bracha, and to thank Hashem after you ate, if you associated the Surah Safas. Of course, that's a Birchas HaMazon. That's Min HaTorah. The only bracha Min HaTorah is Birchas HaMazon. No other bracha Min HaTorah, with the exception of Birchas HaTorah, and only point to the Rabbah. That's the Mishnah Berurah points out in Shulchan. Otherwise, all brachas are rabbinic in nature of the Rabbanan. And he writes, V'divrei Sofrim, V'shulach, Gam l'fnei Shofar v'shoset. Birchas HaMazon may be Min HaTorah. What about the bracha of Panel, the bracha we say before you? That's a bit of nature. And of course, the Gemara in brachas and not on the heavy base. But the Gemara says, "Lasal Adam, Leihanas v'Adam Hazeh v'Leih Bracha." You're not allowed to have Hanoch in this world without a bracha. And God forbid if you do so, it's as if you are guilty of Mehila. Mehila is trespassing relating to Hegdish. And the chi of that, you have to make a bracha before, is the Svara. As the Gemara says, you have to thank Hashem for creating the food item. And then he goes on in the second paragraph, the third paragraph, when he said the primary obligation is once I had the halacha, once I drank, once I ate, once I sent it from the summit. But the halacha also requires us that even when a person has not yet done that, we're still obligated to make a bracha beforehand. And the bracha, as always, used to say, it's like pidyon hegdish. If I want to redeem something from hegdish, the Torah says you can do so. You have to pay for the value of the hegdish and eight a fifth. That's the service charge you give to the hegdish. So the Gemara says, in Shalmi, he says, "Birchas hazuyi pidyono." A bracha is like a pidyon hegdish. It's like I'm redeeming hegdish, and how do I do so? By making a bracha. So the fact that bracha is what the briskers would call a matir, gives you permission to be nehna from that Macintosh apple. Once you make that bracha, you acknowledge the fact that Hashem is the individual who's the proprietor of the entire damasoil, and that's what he goes on to explain in the Sid Beis over here, that there's a famous statements in Chazal, Hashem Oretz Imloa, and if a person doesn't acknowledge that, but then you're brought to your gazlan, you're considered to be someone who's a thief. There's someone who actually, by not acknowledging the fact that Hashem is the proprietor of the universe, you're engaged in thievery. And because the whole idea of the bracha, says the Mechaber, is to give kavod to Hashem is barach, and if you have a no, don't make a bracha, then you're a gazlan. You took advantage of the world. You have a law for the world without acknowledging it. And also, the Gemara says there as well, Yisrael. Again, if you didn't make a bracha, so then this is going to affect the fruit, it's going to affect the efficacy of the whatever growth you're involved in, whatever agronomy you're involved in. That's called your gazlan. And then the Gimel goes on to discuss the famous theory of the two Psukim, one says Hashem Oretz and Loa, one says Oretz Hasan and Loa. The Gemara says that, yes, Kodem Abracha, Hashem Oretz and Loa. And Acha Abracha, then Oretz Hasan and Loa. So that's when we have permission, we have the right to use the world, the Etzaikoshim, the other opinion. And on the bottom, Dalit, that's what Baratella, that's Al told me. My Takanasa, which the person knows, not so knowledgeable. Let him go to a Talmud Chacham and let him teach a little brachos. Without knowing them, a person can go through the Talmud de Mi'ila. Look on the next page. You can see now also he continues the Chavah. And he goes on, top of the page, that in the part they underline, that because he speaks about different situations, and then he writes, what do you do if you want to be able to have hanok in this world without getting involved in trespassing? I dish you that it's a chacham yilma b'shar b'tinei abracha. That's why you're talking about should move to flow shalom in the world. Once you become knowledgeable, then you won't chas v'sholom be guilty of any kind of trespassing. And then it goes to the word that I mentioned to you a few moments ago, and hey, that you can recognize a person, his level, his prowess in learning, and how he makes brachas. Whether he's a Baki or not a Baki. And by the way, Hilma Brachas is very complicated. If you ever start looking, I'm sure you have. If you look at Brachas booklets, you say that you always see in three booklets, three different Brachas for the same Buddha. It's amazing. So it's very hard to know what to do unless you have some cognizance and some sense of what the Klolim are. And the Klolim are very complicated. And then above, he writes as well that we find in the Gemara that this shows the greatness of the person. Mishtapalei Ramon Abzera, the underlying black print. Chachamim prays up there, and Adam Gomahu, Baki and Brachas. Because he's a Baki and Brachas, he's called an Adam Gomahu. That makes it to a Gavir Abba. And furthermore, you come to be a Chosid. That's what I mentioned at the beginning of this year. The Gemara Babakama Taflam. So now this is not only the Kavona, but rather, as it says in Ches, in the second, third line there in Ches, a Kavona, Olim Shalom, and a Baki built with Brachas, Yodea, the Barech, Akot Nahal, Chosir, Abuya, Loyer, Brosh, Yosef, Barak, Bidiyevet. I mean, a person could always say, I remember I hear this about some people. Mishnah writes that, I don't know what a bracha to make, so you make shakal. That's the day. Al-kula mamam shakal, you also have to mishnah. So a guy can say, why should I bother learning little brachas? I'm going to say shakal for every single item that I'll eat. And with the other, I'm not saying. So that obviously is not a deal. You want to be a chassid. You don't want to be just a person who's yotzei, which is the individual who says shakal and everything, and thereby is yotzei. You want to be a chassid. How do you get to the madrig? Chassid madrig, you have a brachas. And then the last paragraph, the test, he said, Dini ha-brachas hinam ha-alachas ha-koshet b'yosef shavolor ha-arachayim. Wow. Isn't that what a statement? Arachayim has, if you certainly know, all the dinim that take place, the meshach kol ha-shavar kula, every yomtiv. Well, when you say that brachas is harder than hilchos erevin? Harder than hilchos shabbos? Harder than hilchos sukkah? I'll give you a long list of halacha, he said. Yet he writes that these are among the very difficult areas of halacha. Be'ov ha-shittas ha-apotim ha-shem v'sh'eishpon. Yalkein chipasnu derach tzorah v'kalom, shirichu gam ha-talminim ha-vakim, ha-asuk be'ev v'kalom ha-musagim ha-bim. And we want people to become talmid chacham. Ma'i takadaso, halachnu eitzel ha-chacham. So where did we go? We went to visit the chacham. Who's that? The chacham's chayim, zatzal. Ve'likadnu misifro mishtabrua et ha-halacha. That's what this sefer is based on. Based completely on the Mishnah Berurah, the Siddur, the Be'ov Shiokel, Al Talmidim. Of course, the fellow looked at other Svarim as well, and that's certainly rather good. Now, the Rabbi Bechaye, I'm very fond of this Rabbi Bechaye, of your mind. He's one of my favorite Rishonim, and I often have referenced him a number of years ago. I decided I have to learn Rabbi Bechaye Al Torah. So that took me 5 years. So I spent 5 years learning Rabbi Bechaye Al Torah. Means every year I try to learn. I always do the Shnayim Mikra Bechatago, and I also learn every Rashi, every single year. And I also learn selected Rambans, I'll be honest, it's Chatoya and Maskir. And what I do is I have a list of which Rambans I did last year, and I continue the Rambans I did to this year. And then every year I decide to take another Mefarish. So over the years, going on 50 years, so I've done different Mefarish, and it took me 5 years. I spent an enormous number of hours learning Rabbi Bechai. I was astounded by his Perush. Will you ask more astounding than the Ramban? Yes, in some respects. He's the Perush of the Ramban. Many abstruse, recondite, Kabbalistic elements of the Ramban, he's sort of Mavarir, Mavir, he's also a great Kabbalist. But he also has very, very outstanding almost astounding chidushim, many of them are Kabbalistic in nature, bordering on Kabbalistic ideas, much more than Ramban. Ramban reveals very little. Aben Rav Chaya is almost, I would say, in terms of his entering that arena, that area, the Kabbalistic arena, he is expansive beyond belief, all over the place. A lot of it is really readily discernible and understandable, even for simple fellows like myself. So the Ben Chai has a comment on Poskinated, Berachtos Hashem Elokech. First, he tells you what it means, Adar Hapshah. By the way, it's the Bakar, that's the context of it, as I was right over there. So look at the underlying section. The Adar Chazal, Berachtos Hashem Elokech, Mitzvah Seh Lebarach Ben Hazamazah, and who can move? You see some Akkad Gagecha, you see some Pesach Hashem Elokecha. If you read this pasuk carefully, you'll understand the secret of brachas. The only time the Torah commands us, is the only pasuk in Chumash. And trust me, he knows Tanakh inside out, these people. You know, Kala Torah Kula inside out. The only pasuk where you have such a statement, we're obliged and commanded to bless Hashem. So he first he tells you, "Al pi nigla, I'll say ki abrachon einon tzorach avah." The Gemara does not require a bracha. Obviously, it doesn't need, as I said earlier, doesn't need our praise, doesn't need our thanksgiving. El tzorach einon, it's for us. Ki kibun shu yisbrach mikor habracha. This is what I said earlier. That's what the word baruch means. Baruch Hashem means not that. Praise him. No, that's incorrect. He is the Makor HaBracha. He's the source, the wellspring, the fount, the foundation of all bracha. And he goes further. Kol HaBracha is Mishtal Shos Yimenu, and all brachas emanate from him. Kol HaNemsoim and HaBrachim also, and Kol B'chosim Kinaibo. He doesn't need HaBrachas. Kiru HaNimsa HaKadno. He's eternal. Sheimtzi HaNimsoim Bula. He's created all of us. U'mitziyusa made El Mitziyusa. We only survive, we only exist based on his existence. He doesn't need us. He doesn't require any human being. I can give him a bracha all day and all night. He doesn't gain anything from that. Says the Rabbi Bechai, for whom is the bracha intended? For we human beings. For we mortals. We are the ones who are going to gain and derive benefit from the bracha. By virtue of making the bracha, what am I acknowledging? What am I testifying? I'm testifying the hashkocha that the bracha is the one who sustained all the human beings. In his chus, the tua is productive, and we have Baruch Hashem ribu in bracha. So someone who has hanah and doesn't acknowledge that. Gozel mimenu ha'ashkocha, as if he's stealing from the ashkocha. U'mose anhogas ha'shvom u'kochom mazalas. As if he's saying that the world is run independently of Hashem is barach ha'shvom, and it's being sustained by the zodiac, by astral signs, by constellations. Zeru shoma, kolanen ma'elu ma'zev u'lai bracha, kilu bezak u'lbrach, nesek so, she'em ha'gozel u'lbim ha'klaim there, lo'ezel ha'kodibrach u'ashkocha, l'knesi ha'apero, she'vavu ze'apero, b'spatu, b'sveo, b'sibasa. We don't acknowledge the fact that Hashem is the Mekor HaBracha, then it's going to impact the agronomy, it'll impact the agricultural fecundity, that we will not have the same kind of yield that normally we would have had by virtue of, in effect, davening to Hashem, acknowledging his role and acknowledging his involvement in this entire process of growth, that will, in effect, enhance the yield of the peros, etc., and the like. Shari kolom kulom nidra haruva, v'chayochem yochem nidra haruva, v'chayochem yochem nidra haruva, so this is our Pete Derech HaNigle, and then on the body he points out, this is a famous, Rav Chaim Volozhin is the one who made this famous, that the term bracha really refers to Tosef and then Rigwe. And he says that Rav Chaim at the bottom, five lines very clearly, and that's exactly what we mean when we give a bracha to Hashem. We don't really fully understand this concept, but it's a concept of Rigwe and Tosef, that we are in fact introducing into the world clearly elements that are going to just improve and enhance and increase things. And in general, this is the sub of the idea of making a bracha. So what we're trying to do in this initial shir is simply present a hashkafic kind of background to the idea of bracha. I mean, basically, the notion of Bracha is essentially the idea of not simply praising Hashem. He doesn't need our praise, but rather acknowledging that Hashem is the Makar Bracha. He's the source of our bracha. As a result of our bracha, so they will have an impact on the growth, on literally agricultural growth, economic growth, and the fruits and vegetables that we cultivate and we nurture will affect that the yield will increase, the yield will certainly will be enriching ourselves as a result of making this bracha. But beyond that, the idea of bracha, as we see over here, is essentially hakar sato. We are appreciating and recognizing what Hashem, in effect, is doing and what his involvement is on an ongoing, constant, daily kind of basis. It's interesting that there's a Rashi in Shabbos where the Gemara actually dashes the pasuk over there and has a remnant of all these shishos in the Mishnah. So Rashi says on the first seder of this volume, which of course is the dealing with agriculture and economic issues, so Rashi says that person is Zoraya who puts a seed in the ground, obviously he's a mami. He has a munach, the Baruch is going to take that seed, and that seed is going to be a sashev over the course of time, evolve and mature and grow into a sapling, into a tree, into something which of course is much, much larger than what he possibly could have imagined when he planted the seed, when he put the seed in the ground. So it's an act of Zoraya. That act of Zoraya is essentially a sign he's mami mechir lamin. That's what Rashi writes over there, Basar Shabbos. That's exactly the Sola Bracha that Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar here is also delineating and articulating. As I said, when the person makes a Bracha, all the entire language of Bracha, Urucha to Hashem, okay, Melcha Olam, as I said, each of these facets, each of these segments of Bracha, having it is Sundas and Muna, having it fundamental elements of our faith. And the Rashi was the one who points out in the Tshuva that the language of the Bracha is interesting. We start with the second. We speak to Hashem in the second person, Baruch HaTov, and then okay, the Melech HaOlam, this in general is a very common phenomenon in Bracha. Namely, there's a kind of tensile relationship we have with Hashem. It's where the Rambam describes one of great Abba, but at the same time, when the person looks at the world and sees his majesty, sees his greatness, and is so filled with Abba, with Abba Hashem, at that moment he recoils, realizing, what am I? I'm simply a piece of dust. I'm simply a cipher. I'm more or less non-existence in the presence of this unbelievable vast network that Hashem has created. So that's what a person sees with Yira. So there's a constant Av of the Yira. On the one hand, we have a great desire to come close to Hashem, but Shteni Acharecha L'Rutza, that a person wants to be drawn closer to Hashem Yisbarach, Nogilu V'Nisbach Abad, but at the same time, we recognize who we are, and the sense of Yira comes to the fore. So this is the Av of the Yira. This is embedded in the Bracha. That's what the Rashba writes. Baruch HaTov, we want to come close to Hashem, and then we recognize once we come to some sort of proximity, what am I doing? Elokim Melech HaOlam is so beyond, is so inaccessible, so transcendent. But so we have this constant kind of back and forth, if you will, constant jockey, and that's exactly what we have in Baruch HaTov Hashem Elokim Melech HaOlam. Again, the idea of Hashem Yikimokim Hayahom Rabiyah, and we pronounce it as Aleph Dal Ben Yud, that he's the master of all. The Gemara says in Brachas that Avraham Avinu was the first one to recognize Hashem as Adon. Ayome, he said, Adnuk Elokim Babani Daki Hashem. That sense of Adnuk is Hashem is the proprietor of the universe. And I think I mentioned a few times already, the recent point of many Mepharshim start the Davin with Adon Olam, because Adon Olam defines all the Shemus of Hashem. In that Adon Olam, we have a lot of the postulates that are very fundamental. Avodah Adnuk Yud, Hashem is the Baal Bayit of the entire world. And then it mentions as well that he's the Melech, and he's the Melech prior to creation, after creation, and we mentioned Hoya over the year, Uhoya, Uhoga, Uhia, the Sifara, and the idea of Kael is also mentioned there. So many, many aspects of the Bracha are embedded in Adon Olam. That's where we begin the davening of Adon Olam. So, in fact, this is all by way of Hagdama, and we also mentioned the Malatanya that the Rebbe Shalom again is constantly sustaining the Bria. That's where the Rabban writes the Chumash. That what does it mean that Hashem was desirous and he was happy, he felt good about his creation? No, it means he decided to sustain it. The Ratzon Hashem was to sustain the Bria, and if he would to Rachman with the Son, he moved his Ashkocha. One moment, obviously, the entire world was self implode. Okay, this I just gave a general mandala to Hilda's Bar, so we've been there on an ongoing basis every Sunday. I hope to literally go into some great detail on Hilda's Bar, and it's Hashem, and so hopefully. We'll have